Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta features 426 guest rooms, 16,000 square feet of meeting and event space, several dining options, including art bar, a gastro pub serving locally inspired fare and cocktails, along with an indoor-outdoor swimming pool and patio, 11 landscaped acres of walking trails, and a convenient location to all the attractions located north of Atlanta. Visit www.sonesta.com/Gwinnett Place to learn more about what we have to offer for your next getaway, meeting, or event.
We need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I am merely Mike Salmon alongside the wonderful Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Mike. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah.
You know what we have in the studio today?
We have two fantastic guests.
We do. We have gold and we have snow.
Oh, I like it.
Yes.
I like it.
So it should be a good show.
Absolutely.
So our guest, speaking of guests, we have Butch Gold from QTS Realty Trust.
It's actually Butch Goldie.
Yes, I just realized that.
Yeah.
So we have Goldie and snow. The joke doesn't work as well.
Keep going, Mike.
The Snow White and Goldilocks.
Yeah. QTS Realty Trust. I got that part right. And then Lori Snowy. Snow from Condor Tours and Travel. I'm trying
Should we restart?
No. I'm just trying to get through the show without having to put on the reading glasses. I hate to show my age.
Yes, but when you put on the reading glasses,
I can actually see the names.
You say the names so much better.
I know. All right. So let's move on from the shenanigans. Butch Goldie is with QTS Realty Trust. Butch, good morning.
Good morning to you. How you doing?
Great. I was doing okay until I started reading. Tell us about your company and what QTS Realty Trust, what you're all about.
So QTS Data Centers, we're a publicly traded company on the NASDAQ under QTS, so doing quite well here lately. We're a data center operations company. We're basically 14, we have 6 mega data centers, 14 locations in the United States, and then 4 international locations as well.
I'm going to ask a dumb question. I start off with a real dumb question. Data or data? Is there a particular way it goes? It just depends where you're from?
Yeah, it's like... it's a northern thing, it's data, and if it's a southern thing, it's data.
Okay. Well, what's different about, you know, the data or data center, you know, industry over the last years? How has it changed?
I'd say you've seen a lot more of the larger Fortune 500 companies go into an outsourcing model. In the earlier years, the smaller SMBs, some of the small enterprise type companies would outsource to data centers because it was cost effective to do so. To build the data centers, roughly about $11 million per megawatt of power. So you're starting to see the Fortune 500 say, okay, why should I spend that capital investment in building a data center? We're in the outsourced data centers today are very capable and confident for handling our services.
Now, you mentioned in your portfolio of locations, you have 6 mega centers and then some other ones. How big is a mega center and how big is some of the, I guess, a regularly sized one?
Yeah, so I'll give you an example. Here in Atlanta, we have the Metro Atlanta Data Center. It's 1 million square feet under one roof. It's running 120 megawatt feed from the Georgia Power. We're running roughly around 83 megawatts of load, a little bit less of critical load. But we have the capabilities of just continuing expansion on that property as well. So we're about 65-70% capacity in that building. That would be considered a mega data center. In Suwanee, it's 375,000 square feet with about 240,000 raised floor, and we're running roughly 34 megawatts of power there.
That's still pretty big. Let me ask this question. We're the Gwinnett Business Radio X, even though our show is heard by people around the country at times. What makes Georgia a great location To have a data center.
Yeah, so, you know, we're a top 10 city when it comes to data center operations, and the reason why is just, it's a number of things, right? Hartsfield, very easy to get in and out of in the metro Atlanta area. So the transportation actually is very good here. The education, you've got Georgia Tech, Georgia, Kennesaw, Georgia State. You've got access to a lot of smart young people that are coming into the marketplace. Obviously, our environmentals are key. We don't have any, you know, snow loads to speak of. You know, when it rains or we have ice here, you know, we pretty much shut everything down. So we have very, very low environmental issues here. The other thing, too, is that, you know, the cost of living, the housings, I mean, there's all a good place to, you know, to raise a kid and raise a family here in Georgia.
We're talking with Butch Goldie with QTS Realty Trust here on Gwinnett Business Radio. You mentioned you got a couple data centers here in the Atlanta area. Number one, why do you have more than one in Atlanta? And number two, what is it that makes QTS different from some other data centers out there?
Yeah, you know, first question, our first purchase, our first large acquisition was a Suwanee data center. We bought it from a company called eDeltacom. They were ITC Deltacom, and we purchased that in 2003 and took over in 2004. That basically opened QTS up as a, you know, we were a privately held company at the time. We bought the Atlanta data center in 2007. That was the old Sears distribution center and reason for the size and magnitude of the facility. And we converted it into a data center. And we've been at that now for about 8 years, 9 years.
So this might be my dumb question of the day. Well, at least of this interview. There'll probably be another one when we talk to Lori. When it comes to data centers, that is, in essence, when people refer to the cloud. Stuff being saved to the cloud. It's kind of gotten this mystical thing of, oh yeah, it just kind of goes out there, but it actually goes to these data centers. Is the concept of data center becoming the next big real estate boom? How many of these can be built? How big can this get before we have to go to the next iteration of data and backup and storage and those kind of questions?
You know, I think the industry in itself is very young. We're still a fairly young industry, so I think you'll see continued growth. You will see some consolidation in the marketplaces based upon the size of the competitors. To answer the question in reference to why two in Atlanta, well, from a replication standpoint, right? So if I have data that's critical and I want to put it in one data center, but I want to make sure that I don't lose any of that data in transition to backup, the closer I put those two data centers together, the more likely, the faster I can replicate, the latency issues are removed from the issue. So it's imperative for companies that are having high trust, some of the compliance requirements, PCI, things of that nature. So having those two together. You know, the other thing too about in reference to the cloud, so the cloud basically is, cloud's being hosted in 99% in a data center, right? Most cloud operators are not hosting it in their own facilities. You have AWS, Azure, companies like that that have obviously taken it to the next level. And QTS really augments that type of business. We're not really in competition with AWS or Azure. What we're trying to do is say, hey, we have a private dedicated cloud that we can offer you. And if you want to take some of your other workloads that are maybe not revenue critical, you can move those over to Azure and AWS, but we recommend that you put your critical information into a data center.
So my other question is this: when it comes to business owners, you have the small business owner; they're either by themselves or they have just a handful of employees. And I'm sure you guys, QTS, work all the way up with Fortune 100 companies. I'm sure with some of their data. What are some of the conversations or questions that the small business owner or the medium-sized business owner, and maybe there are different questions for the large business owner, what do they need to be asking? What do they need to make sure they know about their data and their backup that honestly maybe they're taking for granted, or they're just thinking, oh, I got an external hard drive and that's okay. I mean, talk to the business owner about their data.
A couple of changes that you've seen, right? Most small business owners now are saying, hey, why should I spend the capital expense to go ahead and buy the infrastructure to host my own compute when I can actually go to the cloud and do it through a number of different providers? QTS has a number of cloud products that we can offer clients. So instead of going out there and spend that capital on something that is going to actually not generate revenue, let us manage it for you. You pay us an operating expense to do so, and then you go out and spend your hard-earned money on growing your business. I think what they need to know is what are the compliance requirements about saving that information? That's the key, right? So different industries have different requirements. And they're everything from the finance industry to the healthcare industry to, you know, transportation, logistics, things of that nature. They all have info.
And are you guys able to kind of, because you're in that space, you're able to kind of give them some counseling and some advice around those things?
Yeah, we have an internal compliance team. So we have a chief compliance officer, actually, that's responsible. He has around 6 or 7 individuals that report to him. And we basically go in hand with the client and have an auditor come in and audit the data, make sure that it's being managed correctly, and then an attestation company comes in behind to validate that that information is accurate. So we walk with the customer through the process and the system.
You talk about keeping data in the cloud and so forth, and a big thing in the news these days, of course, is security breaches and so forth, whether it's a big company like Walmart or a small company. Talk about cybersecurity and how secure is the data through QTS?
Yeah, you know, there's three types of, the information flows in three different areas, right? You have in-flight, right? Which in-flight is basically when it's left the building and it's out physically in the, in the internet. There's DDoS and things of that nature, stuff that you can put on that'll help protect you there. You have in-transit, where it's between the actual computer and the desktop itself or laptop itself. And then there's encryption tools to do that. But the data security inside of the data center is what we consider at rest. The information is sitting in the data center. It's not going anywhere. It's not moving. That's highly secure because we have physical security, environmental security. We have iris scan readers to get into your data. So you come in the front door in any data center, you'll be greeted by a security guard. You'll then badge into a proximity card. That proximity card will get you into a biometrics, and the biometrics get to an iris scan before you even get close to the customer's equipment.
What did he just say?
A lot of stuff.
It sounded secure to me, though.
Secure.
Yes, exactly. But you talked about how has the data centers changed over the last couple of years. What do you see happening? Where's it trending?
It's really trending to the cloud. A lot of smaller players in the cloud market are coming in. They're more niche-oriented, basically because of the requirements that the end users are having, right? So AWS... has obviously grown exponentially over the years. They've spent a lot of time. They're now doing some management. We're doing management of cloud services. What we're seeing and where we're going from a company standpoint, we're one of the only real estate investment trust companies doing this, is we'll actually bring in your co-location equipment, host it for you. And as that gear comes to end of life and you no longer need that, I'll move that to the cloud for you on my cloud platform. And I won't charge you any more money. You just move your spend. So we call it contract portability, or move the spend from colo to cloud. And so we give the customer the ability to stay within the four walls of the data center. And as the equipment comes end of life, why spend that capital again? Let's just move it to the cloud for you. And we're one of the few companies that can do that.
You've talked about how the data centers are kind of young and just getting started. Let me give you a chance. We kind of concentrated on Georgia. Let me give you a chance to talk about some of the other data centers of QTR or QTS, excuse me, around the country. I think you guys are headquartered in Kansas, I believe.
Overland Park, Kansas.
You know, how far do you guys stretch and how much bigger do you see QTS becoming?
We continue to expand. What we do is provide diversity across the United States and then also internationally, right? So what you want to do is get your content as close to the end user as you possibly can. So example, someone like Netflix, you do not want to be pulling down a Netflix data from a data center that's in California if you live in Georgia. So you want to get it as close to the end user as you possibly can. So you're seeing a little bit more diversity for large companies like ourselves to make sure that our footprint is nationally diverse so that we can provide that content to for our customers. You're seeing a lot of the AWS and Azure type things happening as well. So I think you're seeing a lot of movement into the cloud, but I think also too a lot of diversity in the data centers operators.
And Mike was asking about cybersecurity, so let me ask you also about power, kind of outages and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You mentioned what you were getting off of Georgia Power, so clearly there's got to be a little bit of a relationship, and that's got to go into it as well. What's the power situation like? I mean.
So we're a transmission grade at the Atlanta data center. The one thing that about power is that you have distribution grade, which is what you're receiving at your home. It's been stepped down a number of times. Transmission grade is coming right off of the power plant at 115,000 kVA and being delivered straight to the unit itself. So you have less failure points. And also, too, if you've looked at the electrical poles, those are the really large ones that are running through large fields. And I tell everybody that if a car runs into that pole, the car loses. The reliability is, exponentially more because you're running running transmission versus distribution grade.
So it's more than just a stiff wind is going to knock power line or
not
something.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. Butch, before we give our listeners know your contact information and how they can find out more about your company for those business owners listening. As far as the size of the business, is there a company too small, too big? I mean, you can just work with anybody.
No, sir, not a company too small or too big. Yeah. So everything from a half a cabinet, which is roughly around 22U. So for the IT folks out there, obviously they'll be able to understand into a, multi-megawatt suite type of build that we can build custom made for a particular customer. Sure.
All right. For those that would like to find out more about your company, where can they get all this information?
Yeah, you can QTSdatacenters.com. That's obviously the easiest way to get a hold of us. You can also call 678-835-5000. That is our operations headquarters here in Suwanee, Georgia. Also to the OSC, which is 866-239-5000 as well.
And your title is Executive Vice President of Sales with QTS. So what do you oversee?
I oversee the Southeast region. So Miami, the two data centers here in Atlanta and Suwanee, and then also I manage Chicago data center. So.
Great. Well, Butch, thank you for coming by and talking to us about your company.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Mike, before we talk to Lori, I just want to remind you that love is what makes a Subaru. You knew that, right?
I love my Subaru every single day.
And we are broadcasting, of course, inside the beautiful Sonesta Hotel, but we are in the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios. And our listeners can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience at Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. You can visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join the family today. You can come in and see the difference. Maybe you're already a Subaruist like Mike. Then you can follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
All right, our next guest here on the program, Gwinnett Business Radio from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio, is Lori Snow. She's with Condor Tours and Travel. Lori, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program. Tell us all about Condor Tours and Travel.
Well, we're a leisure travel company. So if you need a vacation or getaway, we're the people to call in Gwinnett County. We've been in business for 25 years, so we know what we're doing.
25 years you've been doing this?
Absolutely.
Wow. That's amazing. That's
I know. I don't
time.
Look that old.
I
started when you were 15. That's well done.
12.
I stand corrected.
Yes, get your facts correct.
Some travel agencies specialize in, Disney World. Some specialize just in cruises. Is there a niche or do you kind of do it all?
Actually, that's a great question. We got our start featuring Latin America travel because of my birthplace. I was actually born in Panama, speak Spanish fluently. So that's how we got the business started. It's morphed into a worldwide travel service. So we do the cruises. We do customized travel. We do tour groups, small groups, 2 people, 10 people. We can do any of those size travel packages as long as it's leisure.
As long as it's leisure.
Right.
As
we don't do business trips. We don't do business travel.
Okay.
If you want a vacation, if you want to go lay on a beach, you want to have a drink by a pool on a cruise ship, you want to hike the Machu Picchu Inca Trail, if you want to go to the desert of northern Chile or go on a safari in South Africa, those are the kind of things we do.
And I think it's a good differentiation that you do leisure rather than just business. But I think there's another differentiation for you guys. I think some people who are listening will go, well, why can't I just go to one of these websites that tells me I can get to these travel? Or better yet, I got a neighbor that joins some group and tells me that they can really help me with travel. That is so not what you guys do.
That's true. It is so easy to book on the internet. We know that. And so we don't try to compete with the internet shopper. We offer a service level turnkey from the minute you leave your door, wherever that may be, till you return to your door. We can do the airline ticketing. We do the hotel accommodations, the transfers, any on-site tours that they want to do. We bundle the package and create it for them. And they give one credit card to us. They're not putting their credit card on 10 different websites out there and potentially getting their credit card taxed. So we offer a level of security through how we do business.
So in the concept of leisure, you are trying to tell your clients, look, we really want you from the time you walk out the door till the time you come back, let us handle everything.
That's correct. We actually have clients today flying to Costa Rica. Yesterday, the volcano Turrialba got active and started spewing ash, canceling some flights. So we immediately got on with the agency that we're working with on this package and advise them of the possibility of a problem. We gave them an alternate airport they could fly into that was far enough away from this volcano, and they could still enjoy their entire vacation. So that's the kind of service you cannot get when you book on the internet.
That's true. You got to stay on your toes, don't
you? That's exactly right.
The thing about the name of your company, Condor Tours and Travel, the thing that kind of stands out to me is the tours. Talk about the tours and what you offer in that area.
When a client reaches out to us, they may be reaching out for just themselves and their family or for a group of people. We take the time to determine what they're looking for in their travel experience. And we want it to be a tour. We don't want to just put you on an airplane, fly you to a beach, lay on the beach for a week and fly you back. While you're there, there are things to do. Maybe a zip line, maybe a scuba diving trip. There are a lot of experiences they can have when they're traveling that invariably they're going to do when they get there, but they may pay more for the service or it may not be available. With us, they pre-book it. They pay for it in the U.S. when they get there. A lot of times they ask me how much money they need to take on a trip. I said, unless you're going to buy some souvenirs, you don't really need much of anything, because everything is pre-booked for you. Makes it a lot easier.
So you need to have a conversation with your clients to really get to know them and what are their likes, and maybe even say, oh, you know, you might want to try this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we want our clients to trust us. We spend a lot of time in markets. Probably 1 week a month, I am in some foreign country checking out hotels, checking out tour operators, checking out what they can expect and do, what's new and different. So when they come into us and they say, well, I want to stay at this hotel and somewhere, I may not know the hotel. A lot of times I don't. I'll say, well, you know, I don't know that property, but I do know this alternate property. If you want to stick with what you've found, we can help you with that. But let me tell you what I know about this alternate location, and then you can discern which one is a better one for you.
So I think another obvious question that people are thinking is they hear about this. And I like how in that story, you also said it isn't just from door to door. If someone has done a little research, they can come to you and listen to your expertise. So I'm going to ask the obvious question that I think people are thinking, okay, Lori, how does Condor get paid?
That's actually, I just finished writing a blog about why I use a travel agent. People think they're paying more than they would if they booked it online. That is not the case. We'll take this property. We're at the Sonesta Hotel where we're airing from today. They work with travel agents where they give us a commission. So if the rate that they're advertising online, we'll just pick a number, is $150 a night, you still pay the same rate. The difference is we book it for you. We manage your booking, and Sonesta pays us 10%, 15%, whatever we've negotiated for commissions.
So they don't raise the prices most of the time. What it is they're willing to take a slice off that pie and give it to you for bringing the client to them.
That's exactly right.
And
that goes for cruise lines as well. If people think they go online, you see a great special on a cruise line. Oh, that's a great deal. Truth is, they want on the internet, everybody looks good.
That was going to be my question. A lot of times on the internet, are you actually, you know, sometimes are there little, small print that you're missing?
There's always small print. Always small.
Can you give examples of a couple of maybe? Okay, so I'm somebody and I'm going to go on. I don't need Lori and Condor. I'm going to go do it myself. What are some things that I could miss? What are some obvious things that I could miss?
The taxes within a country or on a service you've bought, it may not include the taxes. When we price packages, we always include all those service fees, taxes, resort fees, that kind of thing. That's always small print. They come out on the internet and say, oh, this Hawaii resort's only $200 a night. Well, guess what? You're paying another $25 a person a day for a resort fee. A lot of times they don't include meals. They'll give you a great rate. We always try to be clear up front. You're getting breakfast included. Your resort fee is going to be this much. There's a tax that we cannot collect up front. You're going to owe $2 per night, hotel tax. In Paris, for example, they do have a hotel tax that we cannot pre-bill, but we know that when they get there, they're going to have to pay it to the hotel.
Man, so when she first started talking and was talking about really helping give some advice, and I've been to this property and I know this, and we've studied this and we know this, she's kind of like a travel psychologist or a travel psychiatrist, kind of help you feel good about your trip. But now she's also a travel educator. What else? I mean, do you fly planes? It really, there's a lot of education that goes into it. There's a lot of just kind of soothing people and making sure they're going to have a great experience. No surprise pricing. I mean, where does it end with Condor Tours and Travel? It doesn't, does it? It just keeps going until they have a great experience.
Well, there's always more information. We've got some clients traveling here in early February that their passport expires in June, and the destination they're going to, it states that they need to have 6 months from return of trip to travel to this destination. We've had the experience in the past where the client did not provide the passport information to us. They went on a trip to a destination. They were kept in a holding cell overnight in an airport because their passport expired too soon. So we obtain that kind of information. When we book an international trip, we get your passport information. We can say to the client, by the way, your passport's going to expire. You need to renew it. If they book online, they might not even think about their passport.
They won't. No, that's not something anyone
And then 2 weeks
about.
Before they go, they look at it. Oh my God, my passport's expired, and they pay extra money to go expedite a passport to themselves. Yeah, he's shaking his head. Yes, Butch.
Okay,
I've been there.
I've got a question then that we haven't thought of. That's might be the easiest question we ask you. So this all sounds great. Do you do this for groups as well?
Yes, we do. The group we have going in February is approximately 80, and two of the people in the group's passports have a concern to us. So we did some research to verify if, in fact, they were going to have a problem or not.
So you can handle groups of almost any size.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow.
One of the things I've heard about and I've been doing some reading on is this travel insurance or travel protection. I've never gotten it. Is it a good idea to get it? What would your recommendations be?
Man, that's an amazing question.
I take travel protection
on every trip I take.
Okay.
A lot of things can happen. The snowstorm coming in possibly Friday night here in Georgia. I'm actually scheduled to fly out Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and they're saying it's going to re-ice over Saturday night and I may have a hard time getting to the airport. Guess what? I have travel protection. If my flight's delayed, canceled, I can't get there, then I just submit a claim for the first day I'm losing on the trip.
You said if you can't get there. So if the flight still goes off and everything, but you can't get there, and that's covered.
That would be covered. Because wow. I can't get to the airport.
And I'm assuming then that travel protection is something you guys offer with most of your
we
packages.
Do. And there's different types of travel protection. When I say it's covered, that would be a premium plan where it's basically door-to-door coverage. There are others that you can just insure for the medical part of your trip. Maybe you don't care about the fact you spent $3,000 on a trip, but while you're there, you don't want to have something go wrong or you get sick because your U.S. insurance will not work in 99% of the rest of the world.
So this goes back to, I think, and we ask this of different businesses, but I think it's incredibly true of your business. Where you want to start with each and every client is let's have a conversation. Let's sit down. Let's talk over the phone. Let's talk via email string of what are you looking for, right? I mean, that's kind of what you want to start with.
We want to know, are they a big hotel person with an all-inclusive? Or are they looking more for a boutique experience? Are they adventurous travelers or are they more... They need a little more help hand-holding on their trips. They don't want a lot of hiking, a lot of climbing. So those are the things we discerned. Are there children? What's the situation? Health situations, dietary restrictions. We have gluten-free products, celiac travel or gluten-free travel. So we can do specialized niche travel sort of thing. The one thing you all haven't asked is what's the hot destination?
Right now? I was just about to say before we let you go, where is the place?
No, you weren't.
I swear to God.
No, you weren't.
I swear to God.
Lori gave her own great question. Let her answer her own great question.
I was to ask that question. I was.
Believe it or not, my most asked about destination right now is Cuba. Everybody wants to know about going to Cuba, and we sell Cuba to as few as two people. It's been perceived the only way to get to Cuba is in large groups. That's not the case. We hold a license with an operator out of Miami that allows us to send just two people to Cuba. It is hot, hot, hot right now. And South America, Ecuador, Peru, Chile, Argentina, Colombia, those countries, everybody's asking about them. And those are niche markets for us.
And when it comes to Cuba, wasn't Condor one of the first ones? I mean, you were on that wave. You were ahead of the curve on that.
The minute it was announced that we could travel freely, I hooked up with my operator, which I had been working with for years, waiting for that day. We started selling Cuba. We've had clients now, a party of two in Cuba back in 2014, right after it happened. So we're Johnny on the spot for new opportunities for travel.
Where's the hotspot now in Europe? Well, I've had some friends that they're going to Croatia. It's supposed to be beautiful over there, but...
You get half credit for that question.
Okay, thank you. The hotspot, you know, for
that part
always, of the world.
Italy's always very popular. Very popular. The Greek Isles are very popular. England, because of Brexit, I guess. I don't know. There's a renewed interest. People are curious about what's going on there. And then... Paris has had its share of bad publicity. The truth is you can get some amazing deals there right now.
Is there any place in the world, I mean, you can't send anybody?
Antarctica.
No, we have a package to Antarctica. We do. I've got a party of two right now that are considering Antarctica. So yes, we do Antarctica as well.
All right. Well, then the most important question of the whole interview, for those that would like to find out more and book their travel and talk to Lori Snow, how can they do that?
Condor Tours and Travel, we're based in Lawrenceville. We have commercial office space at 1760 Spectrum Drive. Feel free to come by, Suite 106, 770-339-9961. Our website's condortoursandtravel.com, all spelled out. We have a Twitter account, Facebook account, LinkedIn account. You can find us anywhere.
And you're not just someone that just kind of got into the business a few years ago. 25 years in the business
years.
Since you were 12 years old.
Absolutely.
Great, great stuff.
Lori, 10.
Nine. It's getting lower as the show goes on. Lori, thanks for coming by and joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Lori Snow with Condor Tours and Travel. Also, again, a big thank you to Butch Goldie for coming in and talking about QTS data centers.
Mike, before we close out the show, just want to give one more quick shout out to Faratek. Faratek is an authorized HP and Xerox dealer that also sells and services all leading brands of toner, printers, copiers, and computer hardware. Faratek has certified service technicians that provide on-site service and a delivery team that offers free local delivery and pickup 5 days a week. For more info, our listeners can visit faratek.com. That's FARRATECH.com.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much. And I want to let people know that Lori's not the only one that has all these social media platforms, because Gwinnett Business Radio X, you can follow us on Facebook and you can like us on Twitter or vice versa. I never get that right. I don't know which way it is.
Put your glasses on.
No,
I'm not
reading anything. I'm just doing this off the top of my head.
Wow.
Yeah. So you would follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, I think.
Yes. And go to our website.
GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com.
Very
and you
good.
Can listen to this show anytime, 24/7.
The Goldie Snow Show.
The Goldie Snow. Yes. Snow Goldie.
I like Goldie Snow better.
All right. So again, thanks to Butch and Lori, and thanks to Z and Trey for our producers for getting us on the air, for better or for worse. And Steve, I shall see you next time.
Absolutely, Mike. Looking forward to it.
All right. This has been Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X.